vacation today, and some are just laying up. And you know, I thought if I wasn't pastor, I'd just stay home in bed today for Father's Day. But Janet said, since I was pastor, I had to come to church today. No, she really didn't. Kind of like the old joke, the guy that says, I'm not going to church today. His mama said, yes, you are. And she said, no, I'm not. I said, why? I said, well, I don't want to. And said, yes, get up, you're going. She said, give me two reasons why. I said, so it's one, because you're grown, and two, because you're the pastor. Now get up, you're going to church today. So anyway, but it's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Went last night. I'm a little hoarse today from singing today and singing last night. Went down to the Rodeo Opry last night. And sang last night for them and got to meet some other artists and just had a good time. There's a country song out. How does it go? It talks about being famous and not very popular. Not having much. And that's kind of the way we felt last night. They put us behind the curtain, but the curtain is just an old brick wall. And it has a mirror for the girls. I know it's for the girls because every few minutes they get up and go over to the mirror and, you know, and do this. And I thought, hey, did something change since you came in here and sat down, you know? But one of the girls was a student at Choctaw. I think she graduated. Her name was Lindsay. Was it Williams or Wagner? Lindsay Wagner. And I got to meet her and some other kids, with a little girl from Chickasha, Oklahoma, is still in high school and singing. And I thought, here's all these people. And then it had some older guys like me and some brothers doing jokes. And they had two younger guys from Conowall, Oklahoma, and they got up and just rocked the house with like Jerry Lee Lewis music. And I thought, what a diverse group. And they wouldn't let me sing my own stuff. It's an initiation process. The first time you have to sing something that the band knows because it's a live band. And so I sang, I started off with On a Hill Far Away, the old Rugged Cross, you know. And it was really weird because, you know, it says, On a Hill Far Away. And they go, woo! Not quite like that, but, you know, they start clapping. And I thought, well, that's cool. And you can't see the audience. I hate that part of it because the light's right in your eyes and you're just looking out there like I can see all of you and you can't see a thing. So it's different. It's different. But what I want to talk to you about today is you know what? In different circumstances, how many knows God is in the midst of that? It's different, and it's a different thing. But how many knows if you're going to grow in the Lord, there's going to be different circumstances in your life today than there was yesterday? Somebody said the only sure thing that stays the same is change. And that's pretty much true, isn't it? Times change. Things change. We're getting ready to sell out of the country and move back to the city. All of our country friends and people of the country think we're crazy. But things change. Things change. Ticks and grasshoppers just don't appeal to me right now. And you know, I still love the country. There's some good things. I was sitting on my patio the other day looking out at our horses, and I thought, you know, I'll miss stuff like that. But things change. Things just change in life. And one of the things that never changes, it says, is Jesus. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And I think something else that never changes is your calling, your purpose. Now, I don't know how many of you know your calling. I hope everybody does. But you should know at least of what a part of your calling is. And if you don't know, here's how you can find out. Ask yourself a couple of questions. Number one, what am I passionate about? What have I really, I love to do? And then number two, you ought to ask yourself, what am I good at? Because that means you can be real passionate and not be good at it. Some of you love to sing and you can't carry a tune in a bucket. So you do us a favor and you don't sing. Some of you love music, and so God gives you people that can sing so you can enjoy it. He gives us like our praise team and stuff so you can enjoy it. And He lets you do other things and not sing so we can enjoy what they're singing. Amen. Now, how many knows that life happens? See, what I want to talk to you today is about, in different circumstances, life happens. This week, we always like to talk about the blessing, but let me tell you about my week. This week, I'm working on my house, and it's a mess, and it's got all kinds of smells in it right now because I'm tearing it up. How many knows before you make something pretty, you got to tear it up? How many before you became a beautiful Christian, God just tore you up? He just tore your insides up and did some things. And that's what he did with Joseph. We're going to look at him one more time. I was ready to go on to the next character, but we're going to go back to Genesis 39 chapter and look at him. But how many knows God has to do some tearing up before he can do some renovation? So we've got all that smell. We've got clutter everywhere. And I hate clutter. But we've just got clutter everywhere. Because we're tearing up and we got to move stuff out of rooms and stuff. And then, on top of all that, my hot water heater went out. Praise God's holy name. Anybody ever, Jana was praising God for cold water. When she was in the shower, and like, woo, woo, woo. I thought the Holy Spirit had happened. I found out it's just cold water. And she said, is our hot water heater out? And I said, not that I know of. It was hot when I took a shower. Thank you, Lord. The anointing must have failed when she got in there. I'm not. This is Father's Day, okay? And then, so that was my first little glitch, $200 or $300 glitch. And then my dogs needed some water, and so I'm out and I'm carrying this bucket, and I have my cell phone right here, and I hear a kaboom. And my cell phone with the little black case was sitting in the bottom of the bucket. I didn't even stop. I just kept carrying the bucket. Praise God's holy name. You know. Life just happens. And so I thought, well, I'll go and I'll get me a new cell phone. And I thought, I don't have a warranty. I hardly ever carry a warranty. I don't like it. You know, a warranty says, I don't want to risk it's going to break, and so I'll pay you, and whether it breaks or not, I'll pay you. I just don't like that philosophy. So I don't carry a warranty. I try to put a little money in the bank so I can cover things if it don't. I'd rather have interest on the money than pay them in case something breaks. To me, that's just better philosophy. Now, some of you that just want to stretch your budget so tight you can't put anything in the bank, would just buy your warranty and pay the people for in case it does break. But I just don't do that. So I didn't have any insurance, but I thought surely they'll work with me. And so anyway, I go in and I say, my phone broke. In fact, I had lost my other cell phone, was out eating, and I lost it completely. And so I had to call and cancel it. And then I baptized my other phone the other day, and it wouldn't even come on. I never understand, you know, you baptize something, it's supposed to work better, isn't it? And it wouldn't come on, so I went to the AT&T, and I said, my phone, I dropped it in the water, and they said, well, that's not good. Sharp people at AT&T. And so I said, I dropped my phone in the water and it don't work. And I said, I needed to get a new one. And they said, well, let me look here. And said, well, your plan is not up. I mean, those sometimes it breaks and your plan's not really working right. You ever had that happen? Something in your life breaks and your plan is not a good plan. And they said, you got insurance? I said, nope. I just need a phone. They said, well, you can't get a phone. I said, well, I need a phone. And they said, well, you have to buy a phone. I said, well, how much is a phone? Well, they start at $2-something. And that's not $2 either, I found out. They start at $2-something because they'll give you a phone if they're trying to get you on a plan, won't they? You know, we got a plan for you that don't have a phone. And for you that's got a phone, we got a plan for you. You can get insurance or you can wish you had insurance. There's two insurance, you know. And so I said, well, I don't have insurance, but I need a phone. And I said, can I just kind of like upgrade somehow and I'll extend my plan? They said, no, can't do that. So I said, then here's my plan. I'm going to lower my plan. Because if it's going to cost me, it'll cost you. I said, so lower my plan from this to this. And then I had given my kids a cell phone, so I said, give my cell phone. And so now I got their cell phone. I mean, no, sometimes your plan affects other people. But it's either that or me pay $200-something for the cheapest phone they had in the house. I thought, that's just not a good plan for me. I'm just saying this to tell you, sometimes life happens. And in the circumstance of life happening, God is there. And God is blessing. Right in the midst of it. How many has ever had a bad week? How many had a bad week this week? I mean, it's had a bad week every week this year. Come on, it's got to get good sometime, doesn't it? But we all have bad weeks, right? Bad days. But here's what I want you to know. You know, with Joseph, he had some bad years. But this kid, he proves to us that in the midst of bad, God is working good. We need to learn that as Christians. In the midst of bad, God is working good. Because here's what we see in the midst of bad, we see bad. In the midst of loss, we see loss. And in the midst of bad, in the midst of loss, God is there and He's working good if we do just a few things, just a couple things. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Everybody got your sword and you're ready to study? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis, the 39th chapter. Joseph, you know, his problem, and my problem was mechanical mostly this week. It was the hot water heater, which could be replaced. It was the cell phone, which could be replaced. And you know, and that sort of thing. But sometimes it's worse. It's not material. It's family. Does anybody ever had family problems, or is your family just pretty much? Okay, all you got your hand raised. Are you the problem? It's them, isn't it? It's them. Usually, if you got problems in your family, you're part of the problem, usually. And I know, here's the problem. We all think we're the exception if we have problems in the family. You know, if Dad would straighten up, if Sissy would straighten up, if Junior would straighten up, if somebody would just straighten up in the name of Jesus, it would be a better family. Joseph had family problems, and he didn't want them. He didn't ask for them. All he had really was he had favoritism from his father, and he had favoritism from God. And how many knows that left a bunch of other brothers that didn't have that same favor? Now, I don't know if they could have had favor from God, but Dad, you know, and Dad, let me tell you something. We should never favor our children. We should, you know, and sometimes they think so. I remember my grown siblings, my brothers and sisters, saying one time when my little brother, he said, he asked my dad, he said, you know, I know you love Jack the most, but which one do you love second? I'm one of seven in our family. And he said, boy, where did you get that? He said, well, I just thought you did. And so, and he never showed favoritism to me, but one of the, my little brother was thinking he loved me more than he loved him. And he was wanting to know if he'd come in second. And so sometimes you don't know that they're showing it or don't think you are and don't have a clue, but that's what they're thinking. And so we should love them and give them special moments from time to time. Because they just don't know all the time. To tell them you love them and bless them and things. But Joseph has family problems. And he, when he has this dream, and they begin to hate him more because a 17-year-old is trying to relate this dream the best he can, and he probably should have kept quiet, but he didn't. And so it created more family problems, and they hated him, and he wound up in a pit. And here's the good news. God was in the pit. God will just get right down the pit with you. That's the good news. The problem is when we're in the pit, we don't see God because we're not looking. Wednesday night, we was talking to our Bible students, and you know the scripture says, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. And so you don't just ask. You know, that's what we want to do sometimes, just ask. We think, well, I've asked. Well, then he said, that's the first part. Then I'll start seeking. Amen. You know, you may want a great job. You may want a position on a football team or something. You know, you may want something and you ask, but have you been seeking? And then he said, when you get through seeking, what? Knock. I sang down at the Opry last night. Guess what? I asked for God to help me promote my CDs and get the Kingdom music out. But that wasn't enough. I had to go audition. Janet didn't sing with me yesterday because guess what time the auditions were? On a Saturday morning, 7:45 a.m.
Keys.
You can't sing at 7:45 in the morning.
Amen.
King Jesus. You know. Good Lord. So you got to get up early, and then on the way you're la 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 la, you know, trying to get your stuff out, and it's like, man. This... But I got up and I went down there and I auditioned, and then it was, I mean, terrible. They you know, they say, now get up there and act like the house is full. And so I get up and I got my guitar and I run up there. My name's Jackie. I'm Norman, Oklahoma world champion Sooners, and I'm going to sing King Jesus. And it goes like this, and I back up and wait for the tape stop. Nothing. I'm Jackie out of Norman, Oklahoma, home world champion Sooners, and the good new King Jesus goes like this. Nothing. I'm like, hello. Finally, they got the tape to working. Guess what they didn't have? A monitor on. Now, some of you don't sing, you don't know what that means, but if you're a singer and you don't have a monitor, you know you can't hear nothing. You can't hear your music, you can't keep in time, you can't keep in beat, but you know what? God's in the midst of circumstances. And so, they finally got the tape going. I'm strumming, I'm ready to sing King Jesus. And I said, I cannot hear the monitor because they won't turn it up. I've been doing this all intro and they won't turn it up. So I said, you need to stop the tape and give me some monitor. I cannot hear the monitor because they're not getting it. And I'm trying to be Christian. God is in the midst of your circumstance. And so, to make a long story short, I thought, you know, there's no way they're calling me. Because finally the sound man actually came in and at that point, and he found my... Because they said, I don't think your CD's working right. I said, I just made this in the studio. You're not working right. And so, I didn't say that. I thought that. And so the sound man came in, and he sat down, and he started it over. I mean, just great monitors, and I sang King Jesus, all that. You know, they only let you do like a verse and a chorus, and they cut you off. And so I did that, and I thought, they're not calling me. They called me. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be. I was knocking the best I could, you know. They just wouldn't give me much help. But I thought, they won't call me because it was a terrible interview. You know, just audition, it was. It didn't go well. And it wasn't my fault, but I thought, you know, they don't know that. And they'll play this back and they'll say, well, he's, you know. And so anyway, they called. And they said, we want you to come sing June, whenever. And I said, I can't come that day. I've already got a gig that day up in Wilson, Oklahoma. Can you come this day? I said, I can come that day. And they said, well, I said, and I'll send you a CD and I'll just do one of those. And they said, no, you can't do your own music. They wouldn't let me do my own songs. Because I'm a new person to them. And they don't know me. And I understand that. But I said to them, I've got a plan. I've got my own chart music for all your musicians. I'll lay it right out before them. They said, you can't do your own music the first time here. Sometimes you knock and you seek and you wonder what you're looking at. You ever do that? What in the world? Am I supposed to be here in this pit? Is this pit for me or is this for the Fergusons? Am I in the Fergusons pit? You ever wonder that? God said, no, this is your personalized pit right here. It's just for you. To help you grow and teach you patience and teach and let you see how other people have to operate. You know, you're not. This is not your church. You don't get to do what you want. You get to do what they tell you you will do. Or you won't sing and you won't get promoted in this area, in this arena. So what I did, I said, okay. And remember I had some of you pray. I said, they won't let me do my music. And I asked some of my prayer partners to pray. And so you know what he gave me? He gave me a little medley. And because I went down there one night and probably 75% of the people in that place is seniors. And they usually sell out. They sold out last night. I asked them, but, you know, we had a little CD table set up. And I said, where are we supposed to sit? And they said, did we not give you tickets? I said, no, we can stand. And they said, no, we'll give you tickets. So they gave us tickets. So we was on the back row in the back corner. We which is okay with me, because most of the time I'm sitting down there behind the stage, you know. But that's we're the newbies on the block. That's where we start. That's where we start. That's where everybody starts. And sometimes you get a pit, and here's what we do. We look at a pit, and we think that it's a pit, and it's we don't like the circumstances, we don't like the situation, and so we don't look at it as a blessing. How many knows to be able to sing at the Opry overall was a blessing? I sold more CDs, got more CDs, got more Kingdom tapes out in the public. These are country people that come, but some of them were Christians. Maybe some of them weren't. I don't know. I didn't ask them all that bought a CD. But we did some good CD sales last night, so I know now it's going out to different parts of our town. And I've had some of it wind up way up in Miami, Oklahoma. There's a group that bought one the last time was at the Oklahoma Opry, and it wound up there, and they ordered some more. And so it's getting out. But what I'm saying is it's not coming the way I would choose. But God says, I've got a plan. So guess what? Last night I was sitting there, and guess who I sat next to inside the when we were waiting? At one point I sat there, and thank God for rain. And so I was sitting there, and there was a cowboy from Germany, Bob Style. And guess what he's looking for? New music. And he makes his living traveling all over the world doing country music and playing the piano on cruise ships a lot and in other places. He's headed from here. He's going to Nashville. And he said he's looking for new music. I said, have you ever considered gospel, country gospel? He said, I consider anything if it's original. You got any originals on? I said, most of my songs are original. So I've endured a little pit, a little aggravation. And now I'm sitting by a guy that's international. And I gave him one of my tapes and said, well, let me know if you want to use one of mine. Will it pan out for me? I don't know. Will it go anywhere? I don't know, but I got to plant a seed. Here's what the Bible says. And here's the key for Joseph. Look in 39, chapter 39, Genesis. It says, and we've been over this, but I want to show you something. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Now, he's been in the pit. He's now a slave. He's got a vision and nothing else. He don't own the clothes that's on his back. He don't own anything. He's a slave. And he's under authority, and he's the youngest probably there, and he's the bottom man on the totem pole. But it says this, the Lord was with Joseph. How many knows when the Lord's with you, it don't matter what position you have. The Lord is with you. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter when you go, listen young people, when you go to work and you're the youngest and you're the newbie and you get all the cruddy jobs at work, just remember this, the Lord's with you.
That's right.
Look for the blessing. Because if you look around, the pit walls, they're real. They're deep. They're ugly. But if you look for the blessing, you know what, at school the other night I had a preacher ask me, he said, have you always been this happy? I said, no, I get up grumpy and Janice slaps me and I get a smile on my face quick. Now I told him, I said, well, you know, basically, yeah, I like to have fun and I like to, you know, and all. But there's serious moments in my life. Sometimes we've butted heads and had serious moments with some of you. I mean, there's times, but basically I enjoy life, don't you? I'm looking for the goodness of God in the land of the living. Because life's going to happen. Cell phones are going to be lost and drown, and things are going to break, and cars are going to go out, and you know, you buy your first home. Remember, you buy your first home, and then you get your first roof leak, and you get your first this leak, and you get your first break, and you get your first bugs, and you get, you know, and you're just like, welcome to the happy world of homeowner. That's just part of life, isn't it? But you've got to remember, in the pit, God is with you. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was what? Successful. How could he be successful? He's a slave. Because he recognizes God where he is. Do you? Do you recognize God where you are when you're in the pit and everything's going wrong? Do you recognize God is at work doing something in me? Remember what Rick Warren taught us? God never wastes a hurt. Ask yourself, what was God doing in this hurt? Why did I go through that? Why am I suffering this? What can I learn from this? And if you'll ask yourself that, God will tell you what you can learn from it. You know, last week we talked about, you know, remember what Joseph learned? He learned how not to be so arrogant and prideful, didn't he? It took a long time for God to get that out. But just think about it. You know what? He was thrust into leadership training because of hateful family members. Hateful family members sold him, put him in a pit and sold him as a slave. And so he was thrust into this first leadership position in the pit through hateful family members. Some of you maybe have hateful family members and you think, why do they do that? And that's awful. And I don't understand that at all. And you try to, and you build this wall up inside of you. And all of a sudden, God's trying to teach us something through hateful relatives. He's trying to grow us and we're looking at the bad side. We never look at what is God doing and what can I do in this situation to grow me. I think every time we've fallen out with each other, family members, church members, I think there's something in there that God is trying to teach us. Humility. He's trying to teach us that we're accountable. I don't know what it is, but He's trying to teach us something. Every time we go through something, whether it's in family, at work, in business, in relationships, ask, what is God trying to teach me in this pit? It's not comfortable, is it? But there's a lesson here. And our kids ought to see us looking for God in the pit. So they'll grow up looking for God in the pit. Instead of cursing the pit. And griping about the pit. And so he was with him, the Bible said. He was successful. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. You know what? God can show through you and shine through you even in the pit. People will know God's with you even in the pit. If you're looking for God. We can tell that God is in you in the pit when you come in and you're the same in the pit as you are when you're not in the pit. Some of you are so obvious when you're in the pit. You come in one Sunday and you're not in the pit. How you doing? God bless. God's good. And the next Sunday, how you doing? Fine. Thank you. It's like, where did Jesus go? We can't see Jesus in you today. And that's what he learned. He learned that wherever he was, God was with him. Learn that wherever you are and whatever you're going through, God's with you. He's with you. In fact, don't quit doing whatever it is that you do for the kingdom. The Bible said whatever's done in the prison, look in 39. Joseph's been cast into prison, remember, over what? A lust and a lie. How many knows God could promote you through lust and a lie? First promotion was to give him to Potiphar's house to manage a household, and that was over hatred and hateful relatives. The second time he thrust him from here into prison, into a bigger complex, it was over lust and a lie. God used that for the good. Remember what we said? All things work together for good to those that love the Lord and call according to His purpose. So God can look, take some old hateful relative that looks at you and lies and or take some lustful person that's lusting after you and use it, that accuses you, to thrust you into a better position in life. Now, probably didn't feel that way, but that's what he was literally doing with Joseph. And so it says in there's no one greater in his house. Go to 19. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke, Potiphar's wife is accusing him of lusting and trying to seduce her, saying, your servant did to me in this manner, and that anger was, his anger was aroused. But it says, then Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, into the prison. Now watch this. God works in your circumstances, even when it's bad. This is Potiphar, the captain of the guard. Now watch this. It said, Joseph's master took him, put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. This is not the king's prisoner, is it? This is a captain's prisoner. How can a captain put his prisoner in the same place where the king's prisoners are held? I think it was through a prompting, don't you?
telling the captain of the guard, don't put him in the regular prison. You take him and put him in the king's prison, where he keeps his prisoners. God is working in the pit. Now that may seem subtle to you, but how many knows the end of this story? Guess who he's going to talk to? The butler and the baker. And they're going to have a dream. And this is a while later, but they're going to have a dream. And it's no accident that the captain of the guard put this young man in there where the king's prisoners are kept. Listen, you're no accident. You're not here today by accident. You don't live where you live by accident. You're not doing what you do by accident. You ought to look for the goodness of God where you are. The blessings of God where you are. Remember a few years ago when I stood up here and I said, God is telling me you need to start studying leadership really hard because I'm going to join you to some denomination and I'm going to use you to teach leadership in other places. That's happening today. It's been a long journey. But now doors are opening. At home and internationally. It's happening. What has God said to you that you need to be listening to, that He wants to move you from where you are to where you need to be? And He knows how to work in your circumstances to get you from point A to point B. We want to fight the process. We don't want to enjoy the process. Some of you wonder how to get your kids to clean their rooms. It's simple. Tell them you want to get, what do you want in life? You want to get from here to here? Then the process from here to here, if you want my help, is one, is clean your room. If you don't clean your room, you're going to stay right here. And when they say, can I go here? No, let me look at your room. It looks like you can't go there. You all take the pressure. You take the pressure when you should put it back on the kids. And as long as you'll take the pressure, the kids will say, I'm not doing that. No pressure on me. Just a little griping. Just... And you just, that's what you sound like to your kids when you don't enforce. Is that what they sound like? Don't shake too hard. But that when you don't enforce, but when you say, here's your room, this is your responsibility, these are your chores, and you're going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, and to get to here, and if you want me to help you, because all privilege hinge on this, this, and this, and if you don't do this, then your privilege is you're going to remain right here. And when they come and say, well, you're just not fair, you're just not, you say, no, I'm fair. Remember, read the rules. And here's the thing. Make sure that if you're going to apply the rules to them, they apply to you. You know, you can't expect them to keep their room clean and yours is cluttered and laundry everywhere. Happy Father's Day. And then we can play the blame game. Well, he won't help me. She won't help me. Somebody's got to be the person that says, we're going to stand up, we're going to do this as a team now. Here's the rules and set you some biblical... And that's what he did. He, you know what? He just said, God's given me a dream, and I know from getting point A to point B, I'm in a pit, but I'm going to do this, this, and this. And the Bible said, whatever was done in the prison, Joseph was the doer of it. He didn't quit doing. Listen, if you want to find God in the pit, don't stop doing. Because the tendency is, when we're in a pit, we're in trouble, the tendency is to stop doing. Because we don't feel like doing. We don't feel the anointing. We don't feel like we're getting anywhere. But let me tell you, don't stop doing. James says it this way. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Listen, you're deceived if you think you can just sit down and not be a doer and God's going to bless you from point A to point B. Joseph never lost the doing. And that's one of the most powerful keys that this young man had. I don't know what he dealt with and all his emotions and how he dumped that so like he did. But I'm telling you, he dumped it somehow. He got past the emotions and he said, you know what? God has called me to be a leader. I'm going to be a leader. If I'm in the pit, I'm going to lead. If I'm at Potiphar's house, I'm going to lead. If I'm in prison, I'm going to lead. Wherever I am, I'm a leader. I feel like Joseph. God just called me to lead, so I'm going to lead wherever I'm at. If you're a leader, here I can tell you something about you if you're a leader. When you're in a room and nothing's getting done and somebody's trying to decide, you'll decide. That's what leaders do. Wherever you are, even if it's a subject you're not sure about, if nothing's getting done, you'll grab the wheel. That's what I know about leaders, because that's what leaders do. Everywhere I go, if it's in college class or if it's in a group of pastors or something, if we're sitting around, there has to be some decisions being made and it's not being done, guess who gets to be the leader? Because, you know, I wait for a little while, but leaders just don't wait because they got something to do. Now, if you're not a leader, you just sit there and wonder with the rest of them. Because you don't know. That's just not in you to lead and to step out and to take risk. Because leaders don't care if we're wrong or we get shot. At least we was doing something while we got wounded. That's just the way leaders are. And that's the way Joseph was. He started doing where he was. He just started. And you got to do. Listen, when you're in the pit, don't sit down and don't whine. Do. Just do. Whatever needed to be done, he was the doer of it. God placed him with the kings. And then remember what happened. The butler and the baker had a dream, didn't they? He's placed him with the king's men, and the butler and the baker had a dream. And remember, they were sad one day, and he came in, and he said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what's the matter. I've had a dream, and I don't know the interpretation." And Joseph says, "You know, dreams belong to God." And he began to talk about the gifts, didn't he? About God as the giver of dreams. I'd like you to pray for Keisha. I think when we're sitting there praying a while ago and we're singing and stuff, I think God's going to begin to use her in a word of knowledge to speak out to the church for healing. I do. I really do. I just felt that a while ago when you was talking. I thought, you know, just be prayerful for her. That God will give her, you know, use her and stir up the gifts that's in her. Because I think He's just going to start using her in a greater measure to speak out words of healing, just like you did this morning. Yeah. But you got to be able to do. Because sometimes, you know what, the first report was easy. He said, "Oh, no problem." He said, "You know what he's going to do in 3 days? He's going to lift you back up into position again." The baker said, "Well, that's cool. I had a dream too." He said, "Yeah, your head's going to be lifted too." Off your shoulders. And it was, wasn't it? The baker lost his head. And he said, "Not only that, but the birds is going to come and eat all the flesh off your body. And that's your dream." Now, how many knows the first one would be easy to give, wouldn't it? Oh, God's going to restore and heal you. But to look at, can you imagine looking at somebody and say, "Toast for you"? That wouldn't be easy, would it? I mean, you have to be a man that's in tune with God to look at somebody and say, "You know, what I have to tell you is you're going to lose your head. And then birds are going to pick the flesh off your body." I mean, to say that to someone, that'd be rough, wouldn't it? We want to give words of blessing, but that's the thing we'll need to pray for Keisha, because there may be times when it's not easy to say, when it's not convenient. And some of you that maybe have different gifts and speaking to people's lives, sometimes you just know it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. It's not easy, but it's necessary. In verse 40, he says, or chapter 40, in verse 3, he says, So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, in the place where Joseph was kept. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and so they were in custody for a while. Guess who the captain of the guard is now, remember? Potiphar, isn't it? It's Potiphar. God's still dealing with Potiphar while Joseph's in prison. To help appoint him in different positions and places. It's like, how is he doing? Well, God's working, that's how. See, Potiphar's the master, but how many knows over whomever your boss or supervisor or whoever's authority you're under, how many knows there's somebody above them and his name is Jesus? And so when it looks like there's no hope and no help for you, there's always, above them is Jesus, and he is commanding them just like he does you. I've been to several churches over the years, and every time God would ask me to prepare something before I go, and I'm going to use you either in song or in word, I didn't ask, and I didn't have to get up and say, "I've got a word." They just said, "Are you a pastor?" And I think God's got a word, or I think God's got a song, or I think God, can you preach for us? Can you? And it just happened. Because I thought if this is not God, then I don't, you know, and I'm not opposed to saying, you know, I feel like God wants me to preach or do this or that. I'm just saying, in the few times that I've been out to other churches and that prompting come, I didn't have to push my way to the pulpit. That one time, God spoke to me of going to the church, and He said, you know what, I want you to prepare a song and a testimony. I'm going to use you at this church. And I'd never been to the church, and I thought, they're not going to use me. So I went into the church and I sat down and they're singing and playing and having praise. And about that time the pastor looked back and said, I think God is wanting to use you in song and a word. I left my song out of the truck and I said to the young associate that was with me, I said, go get my tape. God had already spoke to me, but I thought, you know, the likelihood of this happening is just not. And so I left it out in the truck. And all I'm saying is we do promptings like that all the time when God's wanting to use us and we don't get used. Because we're not looking for God in unusual circumstances and situations. How about if we look for God every day in every circumstance? What do you want to teach me if it's a rough circumstance? What do you want to bless me with? And why are you blessing me if it's a good situation? How many knows God blesses you with good things and finances and talents and resources so you can be a blessing, not so we can just heap it on ourselves? That's going to be the problem that most of you will face in giving your sacrificial gift. You will hear a number from God and you'll want to give a lesser. Because that's in our nature. That's our human reaction to giving. But God wants to be a channel through us and channel blessings through us to give to missions and so forth. So, anyway, he interprets the dream, and here's one other thing I want to give you before we close. He interprets a dream, and here's what happens. He said, and just in case you think, well, you know, Joseph's just the easygoing guy, and he don't care where he's at. Look in chapter 40 and verse 14. Joseph says this to the butler that's being freed. He said, but remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. Now, does that sound like a guy that's real content where he's at? That sounds like a guy that says, I don't like this stinking prison. But I'm doing God's will in here because I'm a leader. I don't like it. And I'd like to be relieved. And I know God's got something better. But this is where I am. But if you can, say a word for me because I don't like it here any better than you would. He wouldn't just, you know, sometimes us guys, we just rough it and we, you know, have our little clothes ball and we're ready to go and, you know, just wherever you put us, we'll sleep and whatever. But you know what? After, when it's prison, it's slavery, he wasn't happy, was he? He's used to being pampered by his daddy. Coat of many colors and favoritism and the blessing and made overseer when he was 17 years old over his older brothers. He's used to favor. And for 13 years, he's seen the rougher side of it and the pride and stuff is going, but he still don't want to be there. He still don't want to be there. And then chapter 41 says 2 full years later, 2 years later, after he interprets the dream for the butler, he says, oh, I remember a guy that can interpret dreams. 2 years. He could have mentioned the day he got out of prison, but he didn't. You have to wait for God's timing because God's timing is not your timing. Wait for God's timing. That's my hardest thing. It's the hardest thing that I do is waiting on God's timing. I always, when God speaks something to me, I am ready to charge. How about you? And it just don't happen overnight always. So wait on God. He's working in your circumstances and He's going to help you. You know, you may have a pit, but God is always there working in it. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms. Let's pray. Father, thank You for teaching us tonight to look for You in the pit. Now, I don't know who's in the pit today. I don't know what a week they've had, a month they've had, a year they've had. But today, Lord, I ask them to help them to stop. To stop. And say, God, I'm looking for You in the pit. I believe that Your hand is at work. I believe that You know where I am. I believe that You care about where I am and what I'm going through. And I'm beginning to look for the blessings. I'm starting to look for direction. I'm going to look for wisdom and a word of knowledge. I'm looking for the blessings in the pit. The relationship is rough, but I'm looking for the blessing. Finances are rough, but I'm looking for the blessing. There's a lesson and there's a blessing. Reveal it to me in the name of Jesus. I'm looking for the blessing. I'm looking for the hand of God in the pit, in Jesus' name. God in the blessing. You've blessed me this year so much I can't believe. I'm looking for the reason. Where do you want me to be a blessing? In Jesus' name. When you move Joseph, Lord, to second in command and bless him abundantly for 7 years, he knew to store it up and he knew exactly where it would go. And for those of us that you've blessed abundantly, show us where it is you want it to go in Jesus' name. Show us in the name of Jesus. For all of us that are in the pit, show us, God, your blessing and your will. Show us what it is that we need to learn. And remind us that wherever we are, in the blessing or in the pit, you're working in the midst of us. You have a plan and a purpose that you want to work in and through us in Jesus' name. Show us, Lord. On this Father's Day, show us, God, as dads, what your plan is so we can be good stewards of your children and of our grandchildren. In the name of Jesus Christ. Forgive us for grumbling and doubting and complaining. The children of Israel, Lord, missed the blessing because of complaining. So in the pit, help us not to complain, but to look for the blessing. To look for the will of God and the hand of God. And help us to remain doers of your word so we can get to the next level in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today, if